Round, round, get around,
I get around,
yeah,
get around, round, round, I get around,
I get around.
You are listening to Get About with Guide Dogs Victoria. Their phone number 9854 4444, and this is your presenter Jackie Stevens with my faithful guide dog Andres, and we're talking about Open Day at Guide Dogs Victoria, which took place on Sunday the 1st of March. I spoke with the celebrity vet for the Open Day, Dr. Michael Archinold, and he was telling me that he had a retired guide dog.
I know, I have a Labrador already, mm-hmm. and being a veterinarian in practice, I see a lot of guide dogs. And there was one beautiful dog called Jeannie, and unfortunately she has a sore back. So at 6, she had to be retired. Mm. And her carer was quite distraught, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can appreciate.
I can.
And so she said, what's going to happen? I said, don't worry. Would it be okay if she came and lived at my house? And it's just been the one most wonderful thing, not only for me, not only for her previous carer, but also for my Labrador, Rosie, my other one, and all the kids as well. They're all having a great time.
Oh, that's good. Because look, we love the Labradors here. But I know with Andrew's guide dog, you know, we might be coming up to a situation at some time. And although people are prepared for that, they're not really. So it's really nice to know that a retired guide dog has gone to such a good home. And with a vet, I mean,
I know, that's what Anna said.
Having your own favourite doctor with you, isn't it?
She was very pleased. She said she was as pleased as she could be, mm-hmm. of course, you know, yeah. having to give up her beautiful labby.
It's difficult,
And look, you know, she's been over to our house subsequently and had afternoon tea and the dog's all happy and fine, so that's good.
That's important too, that you are able to sort of visit every now and again just to see how your retired guide dog's going.
Absolutely. It is difficult because each dog's different, each person's different, so you never know when the right time is. Mm. So I would, you know, encourage people just to play that one by ear. There's no hard and fast rules on that one.
And you are one of the people that we have to ask or that tells us. I know when my first guide dog, because this is only my second one, Michael, when my first guide dog, she became blind herself, and he said to me, oh, Jackie, how are you going to get home? And that was so upsetting to suddenly realise that he wanted to retire there and then.
Yeah, well, in fact, two dogs previous to these, I actually had a similar case where one of the dogs had gone blind, another guide dog as well, and so he came to live in my house as well. So it's a bit of a refuge at my place.
You're quite a guy, aren't you, Michael?
No. I love the labbies and love helping out with the guide dogs as well.
Now, today, you're going to be fielding all these questions that people with pets are going to give you?
Absolutely, and I'm here speaking on behalf of Advance, which is an Australian-made pet food, which actually is fed to the guide dogs.
Yeah.
And I'll be also giving two talks to the general public about how to prevent dog bites in children. There's some great information out there to reduce the incidence from 87% to 9%. Just doing a couple of simple things, so it's going to be fantastic.
And that was an interview with Dr. Michael Archinold. So we followed him next to the arena.
But what I'm going to tell you this afternoon is something that could well change your life, and not only your life, but the life and safety of your kids as well. Because in Australia, there's about 100,000 dog bites a year occur, and about 1,400 people actually need hospitalisation. And there's a fantastic program that you can do, that you can teach yourself, you can teach your friends, and you can teach your kids to reduce the chance of being bitten by a dog from 87% down to 9% by doing a couple of very, very simple things. The main thing we're going to teach our kids and people as well, they need to understand the body language of dogs. And we've got a couple of, well, we've only got one at the moment. Ewan, if you'd like to come out. Ewan's a guide dog in training. Now, what you need to know is that a dog who has a waggy tail doesn't mean a friendly dog. A waggy tail can actually mean, all I want to do is just interact with you. It could be on a friendly basis, it could be on an angry basis. It doesn't mean a friendly dog. And what we've also done, we've organised some greyhounds to come over, a breed that many people think, this is back to getting the right dog for your family. You might think that they're not a great dog with kids. They're a fantastic family dog. These dogs are part of the Greyhound Adoption Program, and they get deprogrammed and rehomed, and they're wonderful pets as well. So they're going to help us out today. So the waggy tail, first of all, doesn't mean a friendly dog. There's the waggy tail. Good on you, Ewan. So you can see with Ewan too, he's very relaxed. He's got his ears back and he's down, and his whole body language is his dog, that really nothing much bothers him at all. But of course, you're going to get your scared dogs and your angry dogs. They'll often have their tails pricked up and looking forward. Sometimes animals will have their hackles up on their back. It might sound like common sense, but common sense isn't that common, and we need to teach our kids just to be a little bit wary about what dogs are actually doing. And then also, we need a couple of volunteers to come and help us, but the volunteers have to be very special because we need them to be under 10 years of age. So, have we got? We need three altogether. Yep, we got one good, brave volunteer. Two. What's your name, Chip? Michael, what a fantastic name. You can come over, stand here next to Ewan. What's your name, Chip? Milton, you come over here. Good name too, but not that as good as Michael. You stand there. And what's your name, sweetie?
Emma.
Good, okay. You come over this way, Emma. So I'm just going to explain to you now, and then we'll get the kids to demonstrate, what's the right way with good manners to approach a dog. And I'll do it on you and over here. The first thing is, number one, you should ask the owner or the handler, can I pat your dog? Because they'll be the best person. They'll know whether they're good with kids, whether they enjoy being patted. So is it okay if I pat Ewan? Excellent, you. Now the next thing is that you go down on their level and you just put your hand out with the fingers pointing down the bottom. And they have a bit of a sniff. And if he's happy with that and his body language is still okay, then you can give him a little bit of a pat. But pat him under the chin or on the chest. Never pat a dog on top of the head. Because if I was a dog and somebody came over and slamming over the top of me, I'd be a little bit anxious and a little bit more likely to react.
And that's great advice from Dr. Michael Archinault. And now we're going to move on to a pig. Not a guide pig, but a pig from Edgar's Mission Farm Sanctuary. Hello, Pam. I was very intrigued about the pig because it's the first time I think that we've had a pig at the Guide Dog Open Day. So, Pam, tell us exactly why you're here today.
We're here today as part of Edgar's Mission Farm Sanctuary. We're a sanctuary for rescued farm animals, and we've got over 150 animals that live at a farm. Edgar Allen is the very first pig that I rescued over 5 years ago.
Oh, how cute.
And we have Hope here today, who's our latest ambassador pig. She actually might even sign up for a guide pig. Pigs are actually quite smart. Some studies have even found them smarter than dogs. And
I'll interrupt you. I don't think so, but go on.
And they've even outperformed chimpanzees in computer game experiments as well. They are very, very smart.
Out of here. How does a pig operate a computer?
With a snout. And if you have a look at Hope here, Hope's actually very, very smart. She knows that if she sits, she gets a treat. And she came down in the van this morning with Timmy, our ambassador sheep over here, and it was quite funny. She was sitting all the time looking at Timmy, aimlessly hoping for a treat to come, but Timmy didn't understand that game.
Now tell me, what do you give a pig for a treat? Because a pig will eat absolutely everything.
And that's a really good bargaining tool when you've got a pig. And that's a really good way to train them too. They associate problem solving really quickly. They know that if they sit, they'll get a treat. Hope, come here. Hope, come here.
I suppose Hope couldn't grunt on command, could she?
Well, it's not with her mouthful, no.
Oh, I see. Not with... Oh, now you see, you feed her just as I'm about to interview her, because I was thinking maybe I'd get more useful interviewing back from a pig than people.
Oh, what are you telling me, Jackie?
Sorry, Pam. But
this is actually a very smart pig, because she actually escaped from a piggery. And we all know what happens to pigs that live in piggeries. So she's a very, very lucky pig. At only about 5 weeks of old, she took off and actually saved her bacon. And now she's going around Australia asking other people to help save her brother and sister's bacon as well.
And thank you very much, Hope the Pig. You've been listening to Get About with Guide Dogs Victoria. Their phone number, 9854 4444. And this has been Jackie Stevens with my faithful guide dog, Andres. Till next week, catch ya.